So while they're doing their thing, I'll share a little revelation I got actually just a little bit ago. And don't even remember how I got on that line of thought, but it was like, okay, wow. So when you join the military, the first thing you are taught is how to walk. Funny thing, isn't it? I've been walking since I was one and a half, somewhere in there. And they now have to teach you how to walk. And there's a specific way you walk. It doesn't matter what branch of the military you're in, you start with the left foot. Why? Why would you start with the left foot? Why would you put your, because you always say put your best foot forward, right? Well, if you're right-handed, you're instantly thinking, well, it's my right foot. But your left foot, why your left foot? And in that whole big thing, you know, if you've ever gotten a revelation from God, you know how quick everything happens. It's like, wow. And he began to show me instantly how when we were learning hand-to-hand combat, particularly boxing, the proper stance. You know, if you get into a boxing mat or a fight with somebody who knows how to box, you might get your clock cleaned. That's all I'm going to say. I did. He literally knocked the snot out of me. But there's a stance that is taught, and it's left foot forward if you're right-handed. Now, if you're in the military, you don't get the option. You're left foot forward. Our weapons are designed for right-handed shooters and everything. But your left foot forward, why? We teach this in our drill, just to march, to move. But if you understand anything about military drill, it is to teach something that is effective in combat. And we need to understand that. That when you go with your left foot forward, whether we were learning bayonet, slash, stab, butt stroke, but if you're in boxing, your left foot forward, because if you're right-handed, this is your powerhouse. And if you go to, when you advance, you come around and you can bring your weaker hand around. But God showed me that you go left foot forward because your strength is ready. And so many of us start off on the wrong foot every day. Because I was just realizing, I don't know if anybody stands back there, notices, I subconsciously do it, but then there was a point I just made sure I just didn't feel right if I started on the wrong foot. And I start on my way up here with the left foot. Like I said, it was just a revelation primarily to me, but maybe you'll catch on to some things that God's trying to show you in your everyday walk, that why you do it. I didn't realize why we did it. I'm like, well, okay, so left, right, left. Gets a little boring after a while. Until you realize that every time you're advancing in the battle. You're advancing in your fight. Don't let the devil take you down a notch or two. Speaking of taking down a notch or two, so last week we went over some things with Job. We're not talking about Job today, even though I have a reference there, but we learned about self-righteousness last week and how even though we do all these good things, and even God called Job out as being a righteous man, blameless, but God knows our hearts. I always have to shake my head when I hear something, but God knows my heart. God knows my heart. You ever hear that? God knows my heart. He knows it. Only God can judge me. I've seen the tattoos of people right across their chest. Only God can judge me. Yeah, you're right. He's going to. Because usually they're getting put in a police car for something really bad that they did. And this week, Angela and I were having a conversation about deserving and worthy. And she shared with me, I don't remember who you said it was, but they said, you know, I'm going to tell you something, and it's not going to go over well with people, but you don't deserve anything. You don't. You don't deserve one thing that's good. And so when About 2 months ago, when I heard a particular preacher on TV, I watched the video clip, who said God owes him. I have never heard such prideful words come from a man of God. God doesn't owe me a thing. He paid a debt I can't owe. Y'all remember that old song? He paid a debt that he didn't owe, and I owe a debt I couldn't pay. I owe him. He doesn't owe me a thing. When we get that God owes me mentality, we suddenly get, I deserve this. What we really deserve is death. Because we were born into mankind, and because God made Adam and Adam failed. But you need to understand, God knew everything was going to happen. He made plans. He made preparations. He did everything. And it has a purpose. I don't know why he hasn't sent Jesus back yet. Maybe there's a certain number of people that have to be born. I don't know. Nobody knows. Only God the Father. And so it got me to thinking about what we're deserving and what we're worthy of. Because that's what the preacher she heard say. He said, I deserve death, but God has made me worthy. We're worthy now, not because of necessarily because of what we've done, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his blood that is upon us. That's what makes us worthy. That's not saying we don't do good. You're absolutely required to do good. It is, and I said, a requirement. And so this morning, we're going to start off in Psalm 103. I don't know why I point the thing there when it's back there. But I was originally just going to do a couple verses out of this, but as I was reading, I just really felt the Lord wanted me to read the whole chapter. It's only 14 verses, so don't worry. But this is David. You've probably heard this one a few songs, maybe even in a song. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, your inward sins? Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Now understand, we hadn't been redeemed yet, but yet David is now essentially prophesying that God is going to redeem us from that destruction. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles? I may do the whole message on that. I heard 30 years ago about renewing your youth like an eagle's. People don't realize what an eagle goes through. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. There, I hit the wrong button. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Did you, anybody ever catch that? A few of us have probably read this from time to time. He said he made his ways known to Moses, but his acts to the children. See, remember, the children of Israel chose to know God by law. By proxy, Moses stood face to face with God. So much so that God hid him and showed him his full glory. And if it hadn't been for the fact that God hid him in the crevice of a rock, he couldn't have withstood the sheer power that illuminates from God. Because the Bible puts it this way, God is light and there is no dark. He can turn and you never know it. Because there's never a shadow. There's nothing that defines it. He is purity light. And unless God dims it or protects you, you will never see that. That's why we have Jesus. That's why Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, see me, and you've seen the Father. But he showed his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Again, got this mercy word floating around. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Jesus, that we haven't gotten what we've deserved. It's not saying that there's not a price to be paid. Okay? Hear me out. So many people run around teaching this, oh, you can just do whatever you want. No, you can't. You go rob a bank, you're going to jail. That's all there is to it. You kill somebody, you're going to jail. There are prices to pay. You run a stop sign once, you got away with it. You run it twice, maybe the next time you kill somebody. You're going to jail. There's prices for all of this. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. I believe this is where the song Dust in the Wind came from. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all the in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All right. So, we see through there that God doesn't actually give us what's owed. Again, this is prophetic because back then they lived by the law. They chose the law. And if there was somebody there that could enforce the law, they enforced it. We were in that situation at one time. Jesus Christ came. He became the substitutionary sacrifice for us. He took the beating. He died. He experienced the death that because of what he experienced, we do not have to experience. Ladies and gentlemen, he experienced the separation from God. We didn't. We won't if we believe, if we trust God, if we also do according to as God has said. Well, Pastor, I thought you just said we don't have to, we're not according to the law. Well, we're not. You need to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. God holds Christians to a higher standard. It's a higher standard because, you know, he said, don't repay evil for evil. Don't repay evil with evil. Your neighbor dumps garbage on your driveway. You don't go dump his on his driveway. He says, rather repay evil with good. This is a concept that's not used a whole lot, especially today. But in Psalm chapter 28:4, give them according to their deeds. I need you to understand something. First off, David was still a man. David was a man under the law. He wrote 103 as a prophecy. He wasn't necessarily experiencing all of that. The Spirit of the Lord was moving upon him to write things. Sometimes people write things out of their flesh. We all do it. We all get a little angry. We say something we didn't really mean, but it was there, and we just let it fly. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. He's talking about his enemies. Do we remember what God said about our enemies? Pray for them. Do good unto them who spitefully use you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not do unto others as they've done unto you. That's kind of rough. I mean, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Where would we all be if we did to everybody as they did to us? You're going to be a hateful person. You're going to be so bound up by their sin that it now becomes your sin. And God says, I need you free from that. I'm going to hold you to a higher standard. That is why Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, wishing to fornicate with her, you did it. The law just said, if you did it. Jesus stepped it up. So many preachers today are teaching even that that before the cross, that this was all Old Testament still. Where do you think Paul got his revelation of God's grace? Where do you think it came from? First book of Timothy? Hadn't been written yet. Paul got it by revelation of the word, the law, the truth of what God was saying. Because God spoke through David in 103 about his mercies. And then David gets in a little quandary right here and says, Lord, render unto those who have done evil what they deserve. And yet Jesus said, pray for them. As a matter of fact, they were actually told to pray for them long before. Love your neighbor as yourself is not New Testament. It's Old Testament. I've taught this, and I don't remember who even shared it with me one time, but we can't love God up and down. We can't love God until we can love this way. Until we can love everybody else. Of all the things that we create with the image of the cross, that is the best one I can ever think of. We can't love this way until we can love this way. And until we love this way isn't flying. Because Jesus said the second one is equal. God said, well, you think you love me, but the problem is I love them and you hate them. You despise them. We're not called to despise anybody. And several years ago, I did a message on hate. Oh, brother, we got to hate sin. Well, the problem with that, ladies and gentlemen, is we can't separate the sin from the sinner. I despise the works. But there are people today, they can't love the abortionist. They can't love the girl having the abortion because they see nothing but the sin. When Jesus was on the cross, he didn't look down at John and said, oh, I see you without sin. He could see. He knew John. He knew their sin. He knew mankind's sin. The Roman soldiers that stood around him, he knew their sin as he was taking it upon himself. And remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They really didn't know. That is why when Jesus gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished. What was finished, ladies and gentlemen, was he had absorbed within himself all of the sin of the world. From Adam till he returns. The sky went dark. The earth cracked and shook. And the centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. We're called to give mercy. Hosea 6:6. Again, Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Moses knew the knowledge of God. He had the knowledge of God. He knew God's ways. And this is what Hosea is saying. It's better to know God's ways than his law. God didn't want the law. Did you know that? He wanted his people to come meet him. But we're afraid. Again, I say the word fear when it says those who fear the Lord is. It best describes the kind of respect that you need to have towards God. You need to know he is your friend, he is your father, but he is also God. He's not your Bubba that you can just whip around and say, hey, you know, I'm going to get my big brother out on you. I didn't have a big brother. I got my butt kicked. But it didn't stop me. I couldn't say my daddy can beat up your daddy. I didn't know their daddy. And that was the first thing I told my boys. I said, if that ever comes to your mind, find out how big the daddy is. I need to know. Don't put me in a fight I can't win. But the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Ladies and gentlemen, we can sacrifice all we want. Lord Jesus, I give up Diet Coke for you, Jesus. He said, I ain't telling you to give up Diet Coke. See, here's the thing. Here's the far side. I might get stoned today, so hope, anybody got rocks in your pockets? Lent is bunk. I said it. I'm giving up this for 40 days because Jesus did this. I desire obedience more than your sacrifice. I give it up and then I pick it right back up. It's not real fasting, trying to seek God. It's a religious tradition that we've been taught and we accept it. We say, oh, Jesus, thank you. You know, I'm delivered from the demon of Coca-Cola. But I'm picking it up on day 41. How stupid can we be and still breathe oxygen? You know, Tim and I were talking about this morning. You know, for Tim, he knows now Mountain Dew really triggers his kidney stones. I know, first off, for me, pure dehydration will trigger them. But too much tea did it. Just a slightly different thing, but it dried us both out. And if you've never had a kidney stone, I praise God. But you see, he knows. No, I'll stay away from it. No. Well, where's he at? There he is. Justin drinks Mountain Dew. All the time. He drinks Mountain Dew all the time. But, and honestly, of all the pops we have, thanks to COVID, that's the only one I can actually tolerate. Everything else tastes like garbage. Tastes like chemicals, and might as well be licking a rust bucket. Tastes about the same to me. But I don't drink it. Because I don't desire pop anymore. I have no craving for it. As a matter of fact, I had a great tea this morning, zero calories, zero sugars. Like, that was good. But I haven't had my Southern sweet tea like I used to. But we need to understand God wants mercy. And then for Tim to know, hey, I already know this, Jesus, I give it up. I got no problem. He went to tea. I know that it has a tendency to trigger more. So I'm drinking more water. And I have now discovered the threshold in which you can drink water and sleep through most of the night. Or you go over that limit and you're up at 4 a.m., oh, Jesus, I don't want to get up. It's still dark. I can see that. I'll be awake for an hour. Use wisdom. Oh, by the way, don't slam 40 ounces of water before bed. You're getting up, I promise. But God wants us to show mercy. He wants us to experience his mercy. Job 34:10. This is Elihu. Remember we talked about Elihu last week? There were four men that came to talk to Job. Three of them brought condemnation to Job. And every time Job rose up in his self-righteousness to defend himself. And Elihu, the youngest of them all, sat back. And honestly, he's not mentioned until he addresses the group. And he says, I have been quiet because I'm young. And I thought I would listen to the wisdom coming from you guys. But he said, I realize just because you're old doesn't mean you're smart. Because none of you have spoken about how good God is. How righteous God is. You brought condemnation. You pointed out how righteous you were. And now he's addressing Job in chapter 34. 3 and 34, he is actually having a conversation. And if you go down through it and you figure out who is saying what, you'll realize Elihu speaks, Job speaks, Elihu speaks, and Job speaks. And then Elihu speaking again. He says, therefore, listen to you, me, you men of understanding. I think that was kind of an ironic statement because he just said, you don't have understanding earlier. Far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. Did I not put through 12 on there? Would you put in 11 and 12 on that? I want to show you this. I felt we just needed to kind of get the thing in there. But you see, this man was trying to point out how we get self-righteous and thinking we do our sacrifices. Job thought he was being righteous by sacrificing for his children, didn't he? I told you last week, you can't be righteousness for your children. They have to do that. They have to find God for themselves. I know I did. Did anybody else? You just magically woke up because your mommy was there? No. You had to experience God's mercy for yourself. You maybe walked through hell and back to get there, but you did it. For he repays man according to his work and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. For he repays man according to his work. According to our deeds. What it is we're called to do. You can always do good. But there are some believers that if you are not a Christian, they aren't giving you a cup of water. But yet Jesus said, if you give one of these a cup of water in my name, by no means will you lose your reward. He's talking about sinners, ladies and gentlemen, those who haven't found him. We think, well, I got to give my business solely to a Christian company. Okay. Henry Ford really wasn't a Christian. Chrysler, Chevrolet, Dodge Brothers, Harley Davidson. All these men that started these companies weren't necessarily godly men. Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, just to kind of let you know, even our founding fathers were off a bit, but they knew one thing. We have got to serve God. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in miracles. What did you do? How do you justify that in your Bible? Oh, that's right. He made his own. He took out all the miracles. Then what on earth are you reading? Do this, don't do that, but yet you violated all of that. But yet God still moved because we're in a different time. We have a new covenant that David didn't have. We have a covenant that we celebrate whenever we partake of the communion. It's a new covenant established by the blood of Christ. We no longer have bulls and rams and lambs and doves and whatever else was sacrificed. We have the blood of Christ that was poured out. And so we're supposed to carry that forward with us. We're not deserving of anything good. We are worthy. But God will repay us. And this is where that good comes into play. Because we're worthy, he will bring us good. He will repay us according to our work and find reward along its way. This was not law, ladies and gentlemen. This was actually a revelation given to somebody outside the law with no comprehension of the Jewish traditions. Because they didn't exist. This man was a contemporary of Abraham. So they lived at the same time. Luke chapter 15, 21. This is the parable of the prodigal son. I love this parable. I mean, honestly. And it's not because, I was the prodigal. He took me in. No, I love it from the father's point of view of what the father did. Because it helps me to be a better father. But it also helps me to walk my walk. Because this son, while he's fighting this nasty hog for corn cobs and slop, he came to his revelation and he said, I'm going to go back to my father. His servants have better. So as he's coming across the father who had been looking for him since the day he left, on top of his house, looked out and he saw the figure coming across the way. A figure he'd probably seen thousands of times before as his boy would come in from the fields. And he knew that walk. He knew that gait or that run. And he looked out there and his heart said, my boy's back. And he went running. And he grabbed his son. And this is what he said. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father ignored that. The father ordered shoes for his feet, clean clothes for his body, a ring upon his hand, and a feast to be prepared. Why? Because the father made him worthy. By rights, the son was right. I'm not worthy. But because of what you did, I'm now worthy. And God's mercies are abounding. They're new every day. Whatever you messed up yesterday, what you messed up today, it's covered. Move on. I don't want to do that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to think like that. I don't want to have to strive trying to figure out how to get things in my life. I am teaching you and trying to tell you, and I'm trying to teach by example as much as anything, you've got to trust God in everything. Don't look and say, oh, well, you know, we got to be taking one take. I'm going to share a testimony. We had a little situation come up this week, and I'm going to tell you right now, that day just went. It came apart. Literally. The rear end in her car went out. And I was like, oh. Found out how much it was going to be, and I said, baby, let's just go get you a different one. Had it towed. We got a call. Miss Vicky, we're praying for you, dear. She had nobody to go get medicine in Worthington. I'm like, couldn't they have called that up to Kroger's up here? But it was a specialty. So Angela and I drove down there to get that medicine. We had talked about several cars. I contacted John, the guy I bought my truck from. And I said, hey, look at this vehicle for me. Get me the best numbers. He said, all right. He called me back about an hour later. I said, I'm just not feeling it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking at something, you better listen to the Holy Spirit. Because I was like, I'm not feeling that. Even Jesse just shared with me yesterday about something. I said, that's the Holy Spirit shutting the door on your toes. He's telling you, don't kick the door open. Get away from it. I said, I've had that many times. And that was one of those. I was like, no. Something's not right. So on our way down there, God starts to move on my wife. Because I'm picking out vehicles I like. You husbands ever do that? I got the vehicle I like. I really do like my truck. But I wasn't thinking about her. I was thinking about me. I'm like, I don't want to work on vehicles. I'm done. They're getting harder to work on. You got to be a computer rocket, literally a rocket scientist sometimes, to get some of this stuff to work right. And God said, just brought up back in her a dream that she used to have of a particular car. And so she started looking. And she's like, I always said if I wanted to buy, it was an Acura. If I ever got an Acura, I want to buy it from Lindsay. So she Googled Lindsay Honda, Lindsay Acura. By the way, they're Christians, that's why. You don't always have to go to a Christian, but this was somebody she wanted to. And I know it was God doing that. But the car that came up was not at Lindsay. She didn't realize it. The car that was up there was at Acura Columbus. It was black. I'm like, oh, it's going to be hard to keep clean, but oh, black cars are cool. Not really, they're hot. But we go over and look at it, and I tell you what, I don't think we'd made it to the stop sign, and we were disappointed in it. And just so you know, it's pull out of their driveway and turn 75 yards. We were disappointed right off the bat. Drove it around and said, I'll drive up here. The air conditioning wasn't quite working, and it was really hot that day. It was like 88. And we got up there, and we went back in and said, she's not impressed. And she wasn't. Neither was I. But we weren't. We weren't impressed with the car. Told the guy we have an appointment to go look at another one. We drove from Dublin to Reynoldsburg. And the other one closed at 8. We got there at 7:26. Found out where the car was supposed to be. We go in. There's a salesman standing here. He says, can I help you? And I said, yeah, we want to look at this car. It's a used car. And he says, okay, I'll get one of the used salesmen. I sell new cars. He said, okay. We go sit down. He comes back. He says, well, apparently there are no salesmen available, so I will be helping you. I'm like, okay, you got a half hour. Sale's a sale, right? Commission's commission. We told him, he looked at the car, he said, that's down the road. I said, no, they sent us down here. Because they said, it's up here. He's like, well, that's their number. So he went, talked to his manager, and he said, oh yeah, it's here. Just got to find it. You ever hear, what do you mean you don't know where your car is? He comes back about 10 or 15 minutes, like, oh, he said, I found it. Good news, I found it. He said, it's in the detail shop. We just got it. Oh, okay. I said, when can you get it around? We got it around there, and I looked out, and I saw it sitting just about dusk, and lights were on. You could see it all nice, shiny, and pretty. And I knew, looking at it, I was like, yeah, we're going home with it. And we did. It's sitting out there now. But I tell you that, and by the way, folks, for anybody, because I had to share this morning, that car is 14 years old. That car looks brand new. It's a used car with 66,000 miles on it. God is good. So before the rumors, because I know we were joking at breakfast here, before the rumors get ready, oh, the pastor's driving an Acura. Yeah, I promise you, your Hyundai cost more. Yeah. I can promise you. Because the deal I got on that, one salesman said, told our salesman, he said, are they taking that car? And he said, oh yeah, it's sold. And he's like, man, he said, I had customers coming in tomorrow that were taking it. It was God. Now, I tell you all of that because here's why. We don't deserve that car. It's a great little car. I really do like it. I said, I will drive your car again. The Buick, I got to where I would just as soon not. I mean, this is really a grandma's car. This one's... Yeah, man, it rode like a Cadillac. I ain't going to take that away, man. It was comfortable. But I'm like, man, I ain't ready for that yet. I ain't giving it up. But you see, we don't deserve it. But we're worthy because of Christ. And God showed me a little something, ladies and gentlemen. I had a lot to do that day. And I didn't need to go looking for another car. But because we did what we did earlier, we put somebody else first, God blessed her. So when you think about, well, I ain't got time to do this for them, trust me, do it. I gotta go back one. Come on. He repays man according to his work. I wanted to share that with you. Because I know sometimes crap happens in your life. You don't know what to do about it. And then, you know, like I said, that day, not only did that day come unglued for us, but for other people. And there we are trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? Okay, let's do this. And then we'll do this. And God worked it all out. Miss Vicky was able to rest. She was going to try to drive to Worthington. Not feeling well. Pray for her. She's online right now. Doctor, be praying for her eye. this medicine. They're hoping they're going to take out this infection that's trying to destroy her eyeball. She needs our prayers. She's our sister. She hurts, we should hurt. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, God will repay you for your faithfulness to what he said. We all get bent out of shape. Well, what about the commandments of the Lord? You know, the commandments. The commandments. The commandments are what proceeds out of the mouth of God for that day. That day, our day changed. I was going to sand some drywall, do a few other things. Drywall can wait. And the only reason we came back and didn't turn right around is because I looked like a hooligan. I said, I ain't going to a car dealership looking like I look. I didn't get out of the truck, and I'm not getting out now. If I was going into Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere, I'd be right at home. And I can promise you the first dealership would have kicked me to the curb looking as I did. Sleeveless T-shirt and work boots, pants with a little drywall mud on them. Killing it. So, folks, we need to remember, we don't deserve anything from God. But because he has made us worthy, he repays us. When we do good, he repays us with good. He will not pervert justice. Sometimes things happen in our lives to kind of get our attention, to direct us, because we've been fighting it. See, here's the thing. God moved on me 2 weeks ago to start looking. I said, let's just look, you know? And I was looking at the vehicle I was trying to put her back into. She's like, I don't want that one. It's nice, but it's not the one I want. You just don't know. Well, I did something good and it didn't happen that day. Well, you're not ready yet. Well, I need God to move. Maybe you need to have patience too. That's our biggest kick in the butt. We want it now. Honestly, maybe if she had, well, the car wouldn't have been there because it had just come in. And if we had waited and just went there first, the salesman that God had ordained for us to work through wouldn't have been right there. He's a great guy. If you ever want to go down there, talk to Dave Hack. He's right by the door. Let's stand. I want to lead us in a prayer today, and I want you to pray it. This isn't a prayer of salvation. I believe everybody in here knows Jesus Christ. But this is a prayer of repentance for the things that we've been ignoring. So let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, you can repeat. Repeat it. Go ahead. I want you to pray it out.
Our Heavenly Father,
I thank you for what Jesus did for me. I repent now of all my laziness, of my disobedience, and my sheer rebellion. I ask you to move in my life, in my family's life. Change me into your image. I receive now what Jesus did. I will see myself as you see me, someone who is worthy because of what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. I honestly hope you meant that, because that's where you got to get to. We mess up. Sin is just flat out disobeying God. That's it. If God told you to turn left and you turned right on a road, you disobeyed. That's sin. Cut and dry. Adam and Eve, it was disobeying God and taking something that wasn't theirs. That's all there was to it. So understand that. God loves you enough to show you his mercy. He doesn't want you to sacrifice. And that's why he will send mercy after mercy after mercy. And he will try over and over and over to stop you. And he's always that still small voice that says, either be still or take your left foot forward and get ready to fight. You got to do it on his march. Don't anticipate the march. Don't anticipate that order. I'm going to have to teach that, man. Okay. Let's pray now. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for these people. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it changes us. Father, I believe right now, and I join my faith and they join theirs with me, that in everything that we are struggling with, everything that we, the images we have of ourselves, Father, you are changing that. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in their lives. You're opening those doors of freedom. You're bringing about the strength, the courage to be able to stand, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will see you as we will be seen to ourselves as you see us. Father, we aren't perfect, but you don't see us imperfect. So, Father, bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.